Hello and welcome to our program. We're continuing in Bible prophecy. We're attempting to make prophecy plain and simple. 2 Peter 1:21 is our foundational verse for this series, which reads, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We said when studying the Bible, we should look at it first for observation and then interpretation. Now, to observe what's there, you just read it. But we need to interpret it in the light of the context in which it was written. Now, the disciples had asked Jesus, "What shall be the sign of the end of the age?" And he answered them and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Jesus said, "Take heed," 14 times, "that no man deceive you." He said, "Many shall come in my name. Watch that no man deceive you." Who is he talking to? He was talking to his disciples. Now, if they were in danger of being deceived, I think you and I are too. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and Thessalonica, he warned them of the same thing. If those Christians then could be deceived, so can we. Now, we are living in an age of deception. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall." Who is he talking to? He was talking to the Christians in the local church at Corinth. Way back in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah said, "Let not your prophets that be in the midst of you deceive you." Ephesians 5 and 6, that was a good church at that particular time. It turned out by the time they got to the book of Revelation 40 years later to be gone. But he said, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." Well, they ended up getting deceived. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, "Let no man deceive you by any means." He's writing to the church, Christians at Thessalonica. Even the beloved John said, "Little children, let no man deceive you." Now, there's a verse in the Bible about Christians denying the Lord that bought them. Way back in 2 Peter 2:1, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies." Well, that's pretty serious. A damnable heresy is a heresy that'll damn you to hell. "Even denying the Lord that bought them." That word "bought" has been translated "redeemed" 3 times. It's talking about in the age of apostasy that we're living in today, this is prophesied, that Christians will be bringing in a damnable heresy. Now, Jack Hiles in the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, wrote a book in 1993 entitled "The Enemies of Soul Winning." In his cesspool of damnable heresy, he built his false doctrine on human reasoning rather than on Scripture. And then we have the late Curtis Hudson, another very influential independent Baptist and former editor of The Sword of the Lord. He published a book entitled "Repentance, What Does the Bible Teach?" In his attempt to build his unscriptural doctrine of repentance, Hudson quoted Scripture completely out of context that appeared to support his position, while completely ignoring the Scriptures that plainly exposes his heresy for what it really is. Hudson even had the gall to change the wording of hymns in their 1989 edition of Soul-Stirring Songs and Hymns that promoted repentance. Anything that promoted repentance, he just went in there and changed it. Now, the edition, the old one, 1989 of their Soul-Stirring Hymns, says in the song "The Old Account Was Settled," which was written by F.M. Graham, he recorded, "O sinner, seek the Lord, repent of all your sin, for thus he has commanded if you would enter in." Now, Hudson said, "Well, we got to change that. We can't have that lining up with my new booklet." So in the new edition of Soul-Stirring Psalms and Hymns, that hymn reads, "O sinner, trust the Lord, be cleansed of all your sin." Oh, yeah, we take repentance out of that. Just trust the Lord. "For thus he has provided if you would enter in." Oh, yeah, they take command. We remove that. It's provided. The Bible says in Acts 17 and 30, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Not only did Hudson change songs in their hymn book to line up with his heresy, he actually left parts of sermons that Spurgeon had preached out of his message to support his heresy. The sword of the Lord changed Charles Haddon Spurgeon to only trust him in their November the 26, 2010 issue. They removed what he said about repentance. The original sermon can be found here at this address, and it was Spurgeon's Sermon 1635. The omitted part is on page 3 of the sermon, the sixth full paragraph down, that refers to repentance. They took it out. This was not only wrong, it was deceitful. Didn't Jesus say, be careful in the last days, that many shall be deceived? Didn't he say here in 2 Peter that those who have been redeemed will be doing the deceiving? This is Bible prophecy. This is where we're living today. And so, let not your prophets that be in the midst of you deceive you, Jeremiah 29, verse number 8. Now he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ, Colossians 2:8. He said, beware. Now to beware is the act of observing something accurately. We need to look at the Word of God if we want to look at things accurately. And we need to be constantly looking as danger approaches. And, of course, the context of this is in the local church. In James 1:26, the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious, among you in your church, 1 Timothy, he wrote, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words in the local church there at Ephesus. In 2 Thessalonians, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he might be ashamed. That was in the local church at Thessalonica. Galatians chapter 1:9, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's the church at Galatia. Now that word accursed is anathema. It doesn't mean go to hell. It means that he was exposed. Check it out. It was like an Old Testament temple type of church discipline. He needs to be exposed. Colossians 2:4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. That was written to the Christians at the local church at Colossae. Now, of all these people being warned about what can happen in their local church, beware lest any man spoil you in your local church today. And so spoil you through philosophy. To spoil is to impair the value or quality of something, to damage irreparably or to ruin, to impair the unity of something, to be spoiled. Philosophy is a theory or attitude held by a person or organization that acts as the guiding principle for behavior. Philosophy of ministry basically is how we do what God has commanded us to do. Now, he said in Colossians 2:8 again, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Vain deceit, guilty of misleading, misrepresenting the truth. Anyone who says you don't have to repent in order to be saved is misleading. They are misrepresenting the truth of God. He said, watch out, the tradition of men. Jesus said to Matthew, in Matthew 15:6, ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now, the biggest problem we have today is most fundamental independent Baptists don't care, regardless of the fact that there's no salvation without repentance. Most of our so-called fundamental independent Baptist pastors remain silent. Let me repeat that. Most of our so-called fundamental independent Baptist pastors won't say anything about this, regardless of the fact that we are filling our churches with unsaved church members who have prayed a little prayer minus repentance and they're headed for hell. Pastors remain silent on this subject. regardless that the Word of God says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. That means, again, to be exposed. Most pastors remain silent about this damnable heresy. They're not shy, though, to criticize a few people who will speak the truth. I'll be criticized strongly by so-called fundamental independent Baptist pastors for exposing all of this in this latter day. We're talking about Bible prophecy, and we're making applications here. The application is very simple. What we've said about Jack House, what we've said about Curtis Hudson, those who are redeemed bringing in damnable heresies. Once again, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You're going to preach that you don't need to repent in order to be saved? That is a doctrine of devils, and those are not only preaching it, people are giving heed to this doctrine of devils. Isaiah 30, back there, they said, oh, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Yeah, there's that word deceit again. Oh, just give us the smooth things. We don't want to hear about all this stuff. Jeremiah 5:31, the prophets prophesied falsely, and my people love to have it so. Well, we're looking at Bible prophecy, plain and simple. Here we are. We're living when Jesus said it was going to be like that. Oh, yeah, like it says in the little picture there. Let's just keep the meetings positive and stay away from any issues while the wolves are devouring the sheep. Wake up. Well, be with us for our next session, Bible prophecy, plain and simple.